Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney asked the judge on Wednesday to declare a mistrial, saying prosecutors withheld evidence from them. Apparently was drone footage from the night of the riots, and they received a technically inferior copy of the video from prosecutors. Day three of jury deliberations continues Thursday. In another high-profile case, Travis McMichael, along with his father and a neighbor, are on trial for murder in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Prosecutors say the killing was racially motivated.
He had my gun. He struck me. It was obvious that he was attacking me. That if he would have got the shotgun from me, then this is a life or death situation, and I'm going to have to stop him from doing this. So I shot.
The February 2020 incident happened in Brunswick, Georgia. That's about an hour's drive north of Jacksonville, Florida. USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
John Deere's striking union employees have approved the company's latest contract offer, ending a month-long strike. The United Auto Workers, which represents the 10,000 workers from a dozen Midwest Deere and Company factories, announced Wednesday night that its members had voted 61% to 39% in favor of the deal that includes an $8,500 ratification bonus, an immediate 10% increase in wages, with further increases over the next 6 years. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. has announced two of the three men convicted of the 1965 killing of civil rights leader Malcolm X will soon be exonerated or cleared of the charge. After a 22-month investigation, the DA found that authorities withheld evidence in the trial of Muhammad A. Aziz, 83 years of age, and the late Khalil Islam, who died in 2009. Both men spent over two decades in prison for a crime they vowed they never committed. Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
One lawmaker is calling it another example of a double standard in American leadership. It was on display Wednesday up on Capitol Hill.
The House voted to formally censure Congressman Paul Gosar. The Arizona Republican recently posted an anime video depicting him killing New York Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Before the vote, House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, called out the Democrats' hypocrisy.
It's an old definition of abuse of power. Rules for thee, but not for me. That's exactly what's happening here today. Madam Speaker, when a Democratic chairwoman flew to Minneapolis and told an angry crowd during a trial to stay on the streets, get more active, get more confrontational, we've got to make sure they know we mean business. That high standard? The Democrats refused to take action. At a rally in Los Angeles, that same chairwoman, she told a mob, if you see anyone from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them that they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. Rules for thee, but not for me.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Thursday Night Football will feature the Patriots traveling down to the Peach State and face the Falcons. Kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happens. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the home security hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, and we've got DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor, with us. And lots to catch up on. DeRoy, how are we doing?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Hey, doing terrific. Boy, all eyes are on this this Democratic Party, how they continue to spend our money, thinking that there's not going to be any consequence to this. I mean, it's something that's not supposed to cost us any money. It's just going to be all good and nothing unexpected, no surprises there. But meanwhile, inflation goes up, and going to Grandma's house this Thanksgiving is not going to be a walk in the park, as they say. You better bring your checkbook with you.
Bring your checkbook, your credit card, and you know, your Bitcoin, and maybe any gold nuggets you might have sitting around. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I see that gas is running for $5 a gallon out there.
Exactly.
And I think this is not a bug. This is a feature. I think is what these people want. They want high gasoline prices, high energy prices from fossil fuels, so that people eventually say, well, you know, we're spending so much on oil and gasoline, natural gas, coal, et cetera, that, well, we might as well put all this money into wind power and solar and all the other greeny stuff that they're pushing. So,
we haven't invested in that already and with little return. I mean, do they think that somehow the people are just going to flip a switch and suddenly, you know, go green and everything's going to be beautiful?
I think that's what they believe. You know, I call it magic thinking, and this is something that the Democrats and the left engage in, which is just you wave the magic wand, and all of a sudden you'll have just windmills flying, and the solar panels will be in, and you get all this beautiful clean energy, and down goes the CO2, et cetera. And as you say, we put a lot of money into these things. They don't work hardly ever as well as we'd like. Very often the returns on them are flat to negative, as we saw with Solyndra. And people talk about Solyndra a lot. That was one.
Oh, you had to bring that up, huh? You had to bring Solyndra up. I get so incensed every time I think about this. This is why we cannot allow people who don't know anything about business to be involved in business.
Well,
I mean,
right.
Look at all that money that we invested in Solyndra. And then what happened in the back door? Barack Obama and Joe Biden allowed the Chinese to come behind and undermine the people's investment. Was it any sweat off Barack Obama? Did he get a smaller house in the Hamptons because of it? No.
He ended up getting a nice, beautiful home in Palm Springs, another, I think, $25 million mansion, I believe was the figure, in Martha's Vineyard. So he landed very gently on both feet. And people talk about Solyndra, and for those who may not recall, this goes back a few years, but this was one of these green energy projects funded by the federal government, and it went bankrupt. It totally went bust. And people talk about Solyndra, but it's not only Solyndra. The Heritage Foundation had something they called the Green Energy Graveyard, and they listed, if I remember correctly, it was somewhere in the realm of a couple of dozen, or maybe three dozen or so, of these companies in which the taxpayers pumped in money. And people like to say, well, the government does a bad job of picking winners and losers. The government usually picks losers. I can't think of too many winners the government has picked. So just picked one.
I was going to say, give me a winner.
Where's the winner?
Exactly.
Let's give them credit, NASA credit, for getting men on the moon and safely home. Again, I think that turned out okay. But boy, not much since. And in terms of the green energy projects, we just had one project after another, just belly flop, go broke. In some cases, you have fraud. I believe in some cases, you might have had some people prosecuted. And they were busy creating jobs at the cost of sometimes $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 per job. It would have been cheaper just say, you know what, stay home, we'll send you a check, no reason to run it through the middleman of a solar energy company. Stay home, we'll send you a check for $100,000 and take the $200,000 that would have been used to subsidize that job and put it back in the treasury. That would have been a bargain, and everybody would have come out better, the taxpayer and the worker who would have been hired.
They've kind of done that in a way, except they didn't put it back in the treasury, but they just kind of gave people a bunch of money to stay home. And that's the other thing, too, that's a mystery to me, DeRoy. We've got 4.4 million at last count people just walking away from their job. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic still, and inflation going like crazy, and you got 4 million people say, I'm out of here, I'm quitting this job. What, that doesn't make sense. What's going on?
You've got that going on. I believe the last figure that came out last week, a week before that, 10.5 million job openings. It's I've never seen this before in American society. We have more jobs chasing fewer unemployed people. It's usually the other way around.
Right.
At the moment, we have pretty much two jobs per unemployed person in America, I believe. As you say, we had 4 million people to say, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm taking off. And we've got so many of these government programs that pay you to stay home and watch Netflix or, you know, trim your roses in the garden or take a long nap, whatever it is. And a lot of people think, you know, that's a lot more fun than going to work and having my boss scream at me. So I'll just take Sleepy Joe's money and kick back and relax. As a consequence, you have so many enterprises now that either can't expand or in some cases can't even open because they can't find people who will come to work. And one restaurant I go to here in New York, I said, what are your hours? And they're closing sooner than, earlier than they did pre-pandemic. And they said, look, we'd love to be here. We cannot find enough workers to keep this place open late at night, so we're closing early because that's when the staff, such staff as we can hire, wants to go home. He said, if we could find enough workers, we could keep this place open till midnight, 2 o'clock, or go back to 24 hours a day as they were before.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And then on top of that, as if that's not enough, let's have mandated vaccinations.
That's right, exactly. And what we've seen, I think, is a lot of Americans, we still thankfully have a pretty strong individualistic spirit in this country, and a lot of people who would be persuaded to take vaccines and think, well, all right, you've talked me into it. As soon as you're told, okay, you have to do this, then the response is, well, I do, and they don't. And,
right.
And some of these people we've seen, amazingly enough, have quit their jobs, sometimes within a year or two of getting their retirements, their pensions, and all their benefits. And they say, you know what, you're telling me to stick a needle in my arm. I don't want it. I'm out of here. And they walk away from their jobs, their pensions, their benefits, et cetera. And that's both a testament to the individualism, the character of the American individual, and also the stupidity of the Biden administration to create this mandate situation, which is just creating all kinds of headaches, including contributing to the shipping, to the supply chain and shipping and trucking disasters.
Exactly.
That we face.
So, DeRoy, why am I envisioning the legal profession just drooling at the mouth for the future lawsuits that are coming down the pike that we, the people, are going to end up paying for?
That could happen. I mean, look, if we persuade people to take vaccines and they do so, all right, that's your choice. But if somebody's mandated to do so, takes the vaccine, God forbid has a negative adverse reaction, and that person gets sick or has who knows what kind of problem, then all of a sudden, who's to blame? It's Joe Biden, the federal government, so let's
exactly
against the feds, and then we all get to pay those massive
isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that great?
No, this is unbelievable, but this is what is in the forecast here, and according to VARS, I think something like 17,000 people have died post-vaccination. I mean, that's a serious number, DeRoy. And this one doctor, this Dr. Ryan Cole, he reported in a YouTube video that this was when the count was at 16,000. They've only done one autopsy. He says, He says, in my profession, he says, autopsies tell you everything. You need to have an autopsy and figure out what's going on. Why did this vaccine? Why did this vaccine cause this this event and kill this person and just one person and not even 16,000 autopsies. We only had one.
Well, this is helpful on a number of levels. One is if you do the autopsies, we determine that in fact this vaccine is a lot more toxic than we think. That's important to know that. Or it may turn out the autopsies show that, these people had vaccines, but they also had cancer, heart disease, they died of strokes, et cetera, and so it's not the vaccine, it's something else, in which case we all can relax. Mm-hmm. Well, don't blame the vaccine. Let's take the vaccines because they're good for us. We always benefit, almost always, maybe a couple of exceptions, almost always benefit from having more knowledge. And the extent to which you see the government do this, you see the big tech companies, we don't want to hear it. We're going to cover our eyes, cover our ears. We don't want to hear it. We don't want this information. And that just leaves you in a state of relative ignorance where in which you tend to make decisions not as solid and useful as if you had all the information available to you.
Without a doubt. Got to go to break. We've got more from DeRoy Murdoch after this.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
We're back with you. DeRoy Murdoch continues with us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. DeRoy, as you wrote, this is not your father's normal Democratic Party. Normal and Democratic Party seems to be an oxymoron. And I don't. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, well, yeah, it has become so. I did a piece that is on FoxNews.com and went in great detail on this. The American Conservative Union has the ACU ratings, famous ratings of congressional votes in the Senate and the House. And they also look at state legislatures as well and rate them from zero, which means super liberal, to 100, which means super conservative. And they now have updated the website. You can look up particular lawmakers, compare them to other lawmakers. It's wonderful. It works beautifully. And so I took a look at the average ratings from 1972 to 2020, looking at Senate Democrats, Republicans, and House Democrats, Republicans. And what's fascinating is how the Democrat Party has marched consistently to the left over the years. For example, in 1972, the average House Democrat, or the Democrats in the House as a whole on average, voted 29% ACU. So 29% of the time they voted conservatively. By 1980, that was down to 26%. By 1990, that had dropped to 20. In the year 2000, it was down to 16. Year 2010 was down to 6. And in 2020, the average House Democrat voted conservatively 3% of the time. So they've gone from 29% down to 3%. That's like a 90% reduction in the conservative votes in the Democrat caucus. In the House, it's gone from 62 among Republicans in 72. Then let's say I think it peaked in 2010, it peaked at 89, and it's gone back down to 74. So the average House Republican votes 24% conservatively, the House Democrat on average 3%. So as you can see, the Democrats are much, much closer to the extreme left than Republicans are to the extreme right. You see the same thing in the Senate. And basically what it tells you is, despite the rhetoric about extreme Republicans and GOP extremists and all that, the real extremists are the Democrats, who are at the moment 3% average ACU in the House and 6% average ACU in the Senate versus 74 among Republicans in the House and 79% among Republicans in the Senate. So the Democrats are the extreme party. And despite that, they talk about, oh, we're normal Democrats, et cetera, and they tout themselves as these middle-of-the-road type people. You know, Connor Lamb has been talking about the new normal caucus. He has a 9% ACU rating. A woman named Spanberger, who's also part of this group, she's 10.53. There's a woman by the name of Loretta Weinberg, who's in New Jersey. She also talks about, you know, being normal. Her ACU rating is a whopping 1.98%. There's a group of these guys in the House called the Democrat Coalition. They call themselves the centrists, et cetera. The woman who runs it, the chairwoman is Suzanne DelBene of Washington State. She has an ACU rating of 3.48. She votes conservatively about 3.5% of the time. She calls herself a centrist. And guess what? She is to the left of AOC. AOC, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the poster girl for far-left socialism. She has a 5.23 ACU rating. So this one is to the left of AOC, and she calls herself a centrist. Yeah. So this idea that they're these moderate, middle-of-the-road centrists is a total lie. It's a hoax. It's garbage. The Democrats are left-wing. You got the far left and the far, far left. The idea of moderate, middle-of-the-road centrist Democrats is as much of a reality as Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster, maybe even less so.
There's just no connection. Thank God for the ACU giving us these numbers, because now we know what kind of reality. But you see, this is what happens when you're in an echo chamber. And the Democrats are very well entrenched in these echo chambers, like Barack Obama and Biden and the rest of them. I mean, this has been going on for decades. This is in just recent time. And this is why these numbers continue to move in the wrong direction. They start believing their, you know, their propaganda and their narrative, which is far from the truth. I mean, because when they actually see these numbers, it'd be interesting to talk to them and say, do you realize, I mean, you call yourself a centrist. Do you realize you only vote conservative, you know, less than 5% of the time? What do you define centrist as being?
No, exactly. I mean, I think the easy way to define centrist is you take the left, again, going to 0 to 100. 0 to 33 would be left. Centrist would be 34 to 66, and right would be 67 to 100. Basically cut them into threes. And if you do that, you would expect the middle of the road to be people right smack in that middle 33, 34 to 66 range. And among the, this is the last year, 2020, the only House Democrat in that middle tritile, if you will, that middle third in the center, was a man named Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, and he defected and became a Republican. Mm-hmm. Absent him, there literally is not one member of the House Democrat nor one Democrat senator in that middle third sector. All of them are in the left third, every one of them, and some of them, many of them, are in the far left 10%. So this is not your father's Democrat Party or your mother's Democrat Party. This is not the party of Bill Clinton or, Hubert Humphrey or what have you. This is a far, far left, radical, largely socialist, if not full-blown Marxist party at this point.
Well, is it any wonder there's such contention? And the only way that you can get Republicans to come over to the other side is you've got to throw money at them, which is amazing. Again, the Democrats continue to buy votes, whether it's the public's votes or they're buying the votes of elected officials. And that's what they did in this faux bipartisan bill that the president just signed.
Yeah, well, it's very frustrating. That bill was dead on arrival and dead on the House floor. AOC and five members of the squad voted against that big infrastructure bill. Nancy Pelosi's margin of majority, I should say, is so small that if she loses any more than three votes, she loses on the House floor. She lost six votes. If the Republicans had stayed together, that bill would have been dead. The entire Biden legislative agenda would have gone up in smoke. The bigger bring back socialism, better bill, if you want to call it that, supposedly $1.75 trillion. I hear it may be $5 trillion now. Who knows what the total number is. Anyway, that bill would be completely dead. And Biden, the Republican Party would have Joe Biden in a situation where he would have to say, look, the only way I can get anything out of my desk, given that I lost this bill and everything is in shambles, is sit down with the Republicans and actually come up with a moderate, centrist, middle-of-the-road proposal that everybody could support, or at least, tolerate. So we had this man completely covered, or to use another metaphor, he was AOC and the squad tied Biden and Nancy Pelosi to the tracks with the locomotive coming in at full speed ahead. And 13 Republicans went over, these rhinos, and untied Biden and Pelosi, and they lived to fight another day. And now the infrastructure bill has been signed, so-called infrastructure bill was signed yesterday, I believe it was, at the White House. And there's supposedly will be a vote somewhere between either this week or before Thanksgiving on this $1.75 to $5 trillion super, super left-wing, basically Bernie Sanders budget.
Yes.
And you got 13 House Republicans to thank for putting us in this situation. Absolutely enraging. And by the way, where was Kevin McCarthy, the House GOP leader? Where was Steve Scalise, the GOP whip, to whip these people and say, look, we got to stand together. We can't let this happen. There's a real failure of leadership on the part of those two for not keeping these people in line, and a complete collapse of principle on the part of these 13 others who rescued Biden and Pelosi when they were at their time of greatest peril.
Well, like my old mentor used to say, sometimes you have to be thankful for your competition, right? And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, very thankful for 13 Republicans that sold their souls, for a bridge or a fast train or bullet train or whatever goody that was promised them that they got carved out into this bill just at the expense of the people. Because, at the end of the day, you got less than 20% of that bill. It actually has anything to do with infrastructure. The rest of it is, let's take care of our donors. Let's take care of some political favors, typical of what the Democrats do.
Well, all of that, and then a big chunks of the Green New Deal.
Yeah,
I remember when the Green New Deal came out. AOC rolled it out with Bernie Sanders, and we all laughed. Oh, this is a left wing fantasy. Ha ha ha! Hilarious. Well, guess what? Big pieces that were signed into law yesterday, and more big pieces. Maybe the entire rest of it is in this Bring Back Build Back Better plan. And that is going to come up for a vote. That may go through. I hope Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema stand in the way, but it could have been killed dead completely. Everything Biden wanted to do, especially after losing in Virginia, almost losing the governorship of New Jersey and having these other losses around the country, this Glasgow global warming event where he fell asleep in the middle of the speech.
Right.
I mean, Biden was completely, just totally, utterly cornered. And then, again, you have this posse of 13 people come in and rescue him and let him rise, right off into the sunset. I mean, it's really, really frustrating. And
unbelievable.
And by the way, in exchange for nothing. In exchange for what?
Exactly. That's the other thing, too. DeRoy Murdoch, we got to leave it there. Thank you, pal. Appreciate the time. Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. Until next week, my friend, Godspeed.
You as well. Thank you, Bill.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck, because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed rate at 1.875%. Yes, 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603-87. An Equal Opportunity Lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney asked the judge on Wednesday to declare a mistrial, saying prosecutors withheld evidence from them. Apparently it was drone footage from the night of the riots, and they received a technically inferior copy of the video from prosecutors. Day three of jury deliberations continues Thursday. In another high-profile case, Travis McMichael, along with his father and a neighbor, are on trial for murder in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Prosecutors say the killing was racially motivated.
He had my gun. He struck me. It was obvious that he was attacking me, that if he would have got the shotgun from me, then it was this is a life or death situation. And I'm going to have to stop him from doing this, so I shot.
The February 2020 incident happened in Brunswick, Georgia. That's about an hour's drive north of Jacksonville, Florida. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Back with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. You know, I don't know. You know, every once in a while, you know, when you have those moments when you just have to reconnect with reasons. You know, there's several books I go to. First of all, you know, I'm a theologian, so I go to the Word of God. And there's other books along the way that stand out that bring you some repose and some common sense, especially when it has something to do with politics and our current culture. And one of those books for me is Dr. Wilford Riley's book, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. I find it to be, you know, quite rewarding and comforting at times, because, you know, sometimes with all this craziness, you go, am I really seeing this? You know, is this really right? You know, what is it going on? I mean, you know, even when you look at the TV and you hear all these different perceptions of what is going on, like with our economy and that, and you hear some of these talking heads, like at you know, CNN and some of these liberal outlets, and you go, wow, how do you get there? I just cannot seem to figure this out. But you know, again, you know, for me, and I'm grateful for the relationship I have with Dr. Riley, that he's so willing to come on the show most of the time when he's available, and I'm so grateful for that, because if we ever needed some common sense and somebody who is thinking about these things, that whose degrees reflect how do I want to put this? Because there's other people who are highly degreed, and you think, wow, you know, they're highly degreed. They should be very intellectual. But what they have to say is unintellectual, and, you know, it's disappointing in that case. But, you know, Dr. Riley, I will say that in your presence that, you know, I'm proud to know you. I congratulate you on your intellect and your desire to continue to discover the truth and to share it with us because, you know, right now we're questioning a lot of things right before our eyes and we're wondering, gosh, you know, are we insane here or what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I think some of that is almost intentional. And when people use that term gaslighting, what's meant is that powerful institutions in society, and right now most of these are controlled by the political left, often are saying things that just seem not to be true. And I guess one of my points is that it's important to recognize that those things aren't true, that there's a considerable value to common sense. So, I mean, when we look at a lot of these public incidents, like the Rittenhouse trial going on right now, the impression that's being presented to most citizens is very, very different from reality. So that's not something people are imagining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that at its base, especially when you consider, okay, this is where worldview comes into place. You know, it helps to know where you're coming from. Like, if you're anti-Second Amendment, well, then you're going to see and present this case in a certain way that promotes your viewpoint. You know, you would think in a court of law it'd be different that in pursuit of the truth, I mean, after all, I mean, you've got a 17, he's now 18 years old, young man whose life is hanging in the balance here. You want to get to the truth of the matter and help people understand, you know, to me, and of course this is just me because I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not looking to say, hey, look at, I'm a hero here. I convicted this guy. You know, I look at it from my standpoint and say, okay, we've gone through a year, this last year plus, about finding that justice balance. You know, how can we arrive at that point? And I think what we're seeing here is a bit of injustice, and that seems to be clear. But, you know, the thing that's good about this, and I know the judge is hesitant, he goes, Scott, I'm not sure I want to do this in front of TV again. Well, I want to say, look, thank you for putting it on TV, because we're able to see the process, and I think in many ways we can be thankful we live in America, that there is due process, that people who may have thought one way going into this, that maybe in some cases, and hopefully so, that based on the information that they've been enlightened and maybe come to a different conclusion than what they had to begin with.
Yeah, I think the judge is doing a good job, first of all. It's important to realize that a lot of American institutions at the local level do work pretty well. I mean, as I understand, the judge is a Democrat, by the way. So this isn't necessarily, there may be a liberal conservative element, but there's not necessarily a partisan element to why things work if you go to Wisconsin or Tennessee or just most places in the country. But the reason the judge said that is that there's such an incredible dichotomy between what actually happened in the case and the presentation of it by media outlets that have been watching the live TV feed of the case. And it really has been, I mean, obviously I have a bias myself, but it really has been remarkable to see. So, I mean, what actually happened in the Kyle Rittenhouse case is that a riot began to sort of avenge the justified shooting of a rapist by a good cop. I mean, under both Trump and Obama, or under both Trump and Biden, as I understand, the officer that shot Jacob Blake has gone through different inquests and has been totally cleared. He's back on the force. Jacob Blake was accused of rape. The reason the police were involved in this situation is he went back to his victim's house and tried to steal her car. So that's what prompted these riots. It wasn't the abuse of a young man on his way to church or hoops practice. And when the riot began, I mean, there was open street fighting between rioters and people, mostly on the political right, who'd come to respond and protect property. The rioters at one point set a church on fire. They burnt down several minority businesses. And Rittenhouse was involved because of this. You can say, well, maybe he shouldn't have been there. Maybe there shouldn't have been fighters on either side, blah, blah, blah. But the simple reality is that Rittenhouse is one of the clearer self-defense cases I've ever seen. I mean, he was separated from kind of his side, and he was being chased down the street by a crowd. And there's a guy who had a pistol in the crowd. There's a guy who's a convicted 5-time child molester in the crowd. That's a Rosenbaum, the guy that's being presented as a hero. And there is another guy who's swinging a metal deck skateboard at his head, and he shoots these guys. And in fact, the two that he killed were multiply convicted felons, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that a lot of people looking at this live from the trial, and then seeing the presentation of man goes to peaceful protests and kills, you know, supporters of Black Lives, are starting to, quote-unquote, red pill. That's something that's been going on for the past year, I think.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, the other thing, you know, when I talk about changing perspective, I can tell you, admittedly, for me, when I first heard about this, I'm studying this, and I'm, okay, that's one thing. But what I came to the conclusion, and of course you can't do this in a court of law, but actually who should be on trial are the leaders of Wisconsin.
Yeah, of course.
Because if they'd have done their job, Rittenhouse wouldn't have been there, right? But they refused to do their job. They resisted the president's advisement to bring in the National Guard. Nope, the Democratic government, we got it, Mayor. We've got it under control here. Well, you sure do. You have it under control. And look what happened. And it's like Rittenhouse is taking the bullet for their leadership ineptness, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, this is another one of these things that's often presented through the gaslight. Like, the entire narrative here is basically false. I mean, but it begins with, there's epidemic racism against Blacks and Hispanics. And we both encountered some racism, but racism against the law. Mm. But that's part one. There's a genocidal level of police and medical and so on bias against Blacks and Hispanics. And that's not real. But, I mean, level two is, so responses like riots are...
Let me stop. Dr. Riley, let me stop you there just a second, because I know some people are going to hear what you just said, and, you know, that's not true. But, I mean, when you say it's not true, it's because you've been a student. You've looked at the facts. And when you look at the facts and the data, it demonstrates that it's not true, right? Because I want people to understand that when you say that statement, it's not some broad brush opinion. This is based on factual evidence that you've studied.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that what I just said is true. So this, again, gets into the idea of the gaslight. In actual academia, at least when you're talking about the hard sciences, and I teach methodology as well as the social sciences, economics, where Tom Sowell is still in this fold, and then you get into STEM and so on, people very often discuss what are seen as complex, edgy topics. IQ, for example, are the differences among countries, crime rates, are the differences among groups. So in the academy, where people do this for money, this is perfectly accepted. Most people know reality. What I'm about to say, I think, is largely blocked, again, by specific media outlets, really all to the left of the center right. But so I and other people have actually looked at the number of people annually who are involved in abusive incidents with the police. The group most likely to be shot by the cops and abused in most ways actually is poor whites. Recent Latino immigrants are right up there. But if you're talking about Black or Hispanic American citizens, you're talking about very low numbers. Total number of unarmed Black men.
We got to go to break. Let's pick it up when we come back. More from Dr. Riley.
Welcome to Furniture Depot. And you, come on in.
Couches are flying off the floor at Cheyenne's Furniture Store.
Sarah, can you go over to dining sets, please?
She needs more sales associates before shoppers take their seats elsewhere.
Somebody get me a price check on Trundle this.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck, because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed rate at 1.875%. Yes, 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation and the Financing Law. Number 603-787. Equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available to rate law. Discount rates may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
With you 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Dr. Wilfred Riley, professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Dr. Riley, I wanted to, you know, come back and pick up where we left off, because I'm sorry to cut you off there. We hit the proverbial time clock wall and had to go to break, but I want you to finish your thought here before we continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so what I think I got through most of this. The simple fact is the total number of unarmed black men shot by police in a typical year is like 15. If you add in all the whites, Hispanics, Asians, it's a little under 100. So what you see with the modern civil rights movement, I think, is organizations like the SPLC and NAACP that once did a great deal of good that are still in place and still have $500 million endowments and budget. They almost need to find racism, and that's how you move to discussions of these issues. There's not a ton of evidence. I'm sure there's some racism at the level of the beat cop, but there's not a ton of evidence that black people are more likely to be shot than whites or treated worse in jail than whites or something like that. Rather the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this is the problem we get into, which kind of ties into what Thomas Sowell said, warning that our national problems usually do not cause nearly as much harm as the solutions. Because what happens sometimes in what you're speaking of here is you have an established paradigm. You have a reward system that says, look, if you want these endowments, you better make sure you're scratching an itch, even if it's not there, in order to get your money. Does that make sense, how I'm putting it?
Yeah, I mean, so the most dangerous time for kind of a revolutionary movement is after it wins. So right now, I mean, we've recently seen gay marriage, for example. This is 2011, 2012 of Birchfeld. And most people that had been involved with the gay rights movement, and sympathy for the gay rights movement, I mean, that would be probably most women I've dated. I mean, that was 50, 60% of the country. But most people who were involved with the movement were like, okay, this is over. Gay people have all rights. You know, we should stop bullying and scolding, and that's it. I guess they won. But you immediately saw these large organizations like the HRC flip to new topics. I mean, so you saw the trans rights movement start literally the next year. Like, it's not just gay people, you know? I don't want to associate this with the gay community, but I mean, now you're seeing people that are trying to rebrand pedophiles. So you saw this minor affiliated persons thing. It was the number one trend on Twitter. So it's the same thing to some extent with the race stuff. We had all these groups that were set up to fight for the Civil Rights Act. And that was it. That was really the goal. Once lynching stopped, the Civil Rights Act, we're all treated equally. The Civil Rights Act passed in 1964. So to some extent, you can ask the question, you know, why the heck, let's say, are these people still there, still asking for money? You know, I got a donation request flyer from the NAACP today as a black businessman. And the answer is, well, that's what they do. If they stopped asking for money, everyone would have to go get jobs. So that's why we keep finding, I think, new forms of racism and bias and so on. That's just human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people do that which they get rewarded for, and that's what I mean. The established paradigm is there, and they come back to the well because that's how they get rewarded, and they've got to keep that up. And so here it is, and the more opportunity that they get to come to the headlines and say, "See, we told you so. It's still not over," you know. And so now here we are, continuing to to regurgitate all this stuff that you said. Wait a minute, I thought this was over with, because even in 1964, I mean, the law was already there. It was like we had a law on top of a law. I mean, talk about reinventing the wheel a little bit, you know. Was that fair?
Well, yeah, I think what we wanted to do with racism, because there really is such a history of ethnic almost warfare in the USA. I mean, the last Indian Raiders, like 1910. We wanted to just say over and over, this is illegal. So, I mean, you have a whole series of these race decisions. And I mean, I think these are good, this 1950s baseline stuff. But Brown versus the Board of Education banned all segregation. That's 54. Then you have the Civil Rights Act, which banned essentially all racial discrimination. I mean, civilly and sometimes criminally. You can't refuse to serve in your restaurant, this sort of thing. And in 1967, with the Philadelphia Plan, you got pro-minority affirmative action. So a lot of people, I don't think, realize that, again, sure, if you go to the body shop in your town, you may face racism as a Hispanic housewife or something. But there's been a technical advantage in favor of minorities in place for about 50 years. So it's at very least a complex picture. It's not just like a hand holding a whip in terms of what U.S. policy is.
Yes. Well, you know, are we chewing on this way too long? I mean, have we got to enough conclusion to where when these things come up, I mean, you know, we're like exercising due process to the point that it just seems to say, well, wait, this was answered. Why are you, I'm just hoping for a judge to come in and say, get it out of here. I'm not going to waste my time. This is a settled case. Why are we regurgitating something that's already established law?
I think the reason, so you have this huge institutional block that we're discussing, and really what they do, it's not so much that they argue that affirmative action doesn't exist, although they certainly minimize it as much as possible. Like, as a successful black man, you rarely hear people say, oh, I had a 10% advantage because of affirmative action when they're griping about racism. But mostly you redirect it to new things. So, like, the argument would be, well, one area we haven't fixed yet is policing. We need a new policing bill, a la the Civil Rights Act, but focused specifically on America's domestic guardian. And it just goes on and on. One of the things to realize is that there's no limit to the number of potential oppressed groups. So I think most people, when it comes to their wife or their black and Hispanic military buddies or something, are like, okay, we might have needed a law at one point. But it's not really going to stop. Like, I mean, when you look at the trans movement, non-binary movement, MAP movement, quote-unquote, so on down the line, as we pass each bill, there's going to be a demand for another one. So, I mean, not 25 years after the Civil Rights Act, if you might correct me on the years, but we saw the Americans with Disabilities Act. Okay, still basically good. But then we saw the gay rights laws and so on. So this is not a completed process. It's going to go on for quite a while, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's the nature of man, isn't it? Real quick, we got about 3 minutes left. I did want to, because we both love basketball, I wanted to get your read on Enes Kanter, the Boston Celtic NBA player, who, I mean, the guy is from Turkey, for goodness sakes. And he is acting more like an American, standing up for human rights against China, and the rest of the NBA is quite quiet. Now, here's a basketball player making $17 million a year. He's not playing very much these days because the NBA is embarrassed to see his size 16 and a half tennis shoe, you know, as a billboard against China, calling them out for slave labor.
Yeah, this is one of these almost funny stories. I mean, Enes Kanter, who's a great guy if you follow sports, is I think he's a converted Catholic, actually, but obviously comes from a Muslim country, Turkey, and has been amazed by the NBA's kind of kowtowing before China, where, like, LeBron James will say things like, well, we shouldn't really criticize a regime we don't understand, a nation full of people of color, this kind of thing. I mean, Sanders pointed out the obvious, which is, like, look, China may be a rival that we have to be polite with at international events, but they're probably committing genocide right now. I mean, there's a whole region full of Uyghur Muslims who look basically like Turks, who've disappeared, who've been put into these sort of hillside concentration camps. Why isn't anyone talking about this? We talk constantly about whites and blacks getting in fistfights in this country. Why isn't anyone talking about this genocide? Why don't we have investigators over there supplementing the UN? And there's not really an answer to them.
Yeah, we have quite often the leader of the Uyghurs, he is the prime minister in exile, Salih Hutayr, who comes on and to the point. We're trying to keep it up front to, you know, help people realize and, again, remind them that this is happening in China. China is doing this, and, you know, to cause us to take pause and say, wait a minute, we're supporting the Chinese that's doing this to fellow human beings, and here we are, this supposedly woke society that is trying to overcome the issues and the crime and sins of slavery. And here we are, we're purchasing products from a nation and that are producing these products through slave labor. You know, what is wrong with us? Are we a bunch of hypocrites or what?
Well, yeah. I also think, just very quickly, most people don't know this. I mean, again, this gets into the idea. One of the big problems in this country, I mean, Trump called the mainstream center-left media enemies of the people, and that's not too far off from the truth. There are people that have the power to create narratives. I mean, you got the New York Times, you got every cable news station but Fox, and sometimes them. You know, there's one line that comes out. So what is said creates the body of information that most people have and feel they know. And the Uyghur genocide isn't discussed, and that's a conscious decision. So I don't think most people know that their shoes were made by slaves.
But because of Enes Kanter, they're starting to understand. And, I mean, here is an athlete, you know, and I look at him compared to you know, the football player who caused all kinds of problems and issues. But you say, to what end? You know, when you compare the two, you're saying at least Enes Kanter is doing something that I think is more positive for humanity, is as opposed to what Colin Kaepernick has done. Or is it just because I like Enes Kanter more than I like Colin Kaepernick? I'm trying to give Colin Kaepernick as much benefit of the doubt as possible. But with Enes Kanter, admittedly, I can tell you it's a little bit easier.
Well, I think we both think Enes Kanter is a better athlete at this point in his career, and maybe he shares our politics a little bit more. But there's also an important real difference. Enes Kanter's taking a risk. What Colin Kaepernick was doing was mouthing conventional center-left platitudes that he knew were going to get him adored by the media. Like, when people say Kaepernick took a risk, Kaepernick was blackballed from the NFL, Kaepernick was the third-string QB that year behind Blaine Gabbert. As a result of his protesting and marching around and calling interview sessions, he just signed something like a $100 million contract with Nike. Like, this is the only athlete that has a non-athletic shoe. I mean, and you can make jokes about it. Like, is the jump man on it just going to be a picture of him kneeling, him holding a book? But, I mean, Kaepernick didn't take any risk. Kaepernick is in America criticizing America, and that's the easiest thing you could do.
And the thing is you know, I guess to his credit, his brains aren't getting bashed into the turf every weekend any longer, and he's got a nice paycheck for himself. And so he's found his place, just like these other social justice warriors have been able to carve out a niche. And for him, he's getting handsomely rewarded. I guess, only in America, and congratulations to him. Dr. Wilfred Riley, as always, appreciate the time. Take care.
The supply lines are down or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender-scented.
Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital?